Welcome to Daily in the Word.
Striving Together Publications is committed to providing growing Christians and local churches with life-changing resources. For growing Christians, we strive to provide solid Christian books and music that encourages your heart and strengthens your faith. For local churches and spiritual leaders, we're providing sound, biblical Sunday school curriculum, outreach and discipleship materials, church brochures, sermon helps, and a growing list of other tools and resources. If you are a growing Christian or a leader in local church ministry, you simply must visit Striving Together Publications at strivingtogether.com.
Are you dealing with circumstances that are overwhelming in your life? Do you wonder where to turn or what to do next? Often it's an adjustment of your perspective, and next we're going to discover who God is. Understanding God with Paul Chappell, next on Daily in the Word. Let your understanding of Him change your perspective. It has been said, if you have a small God, you have big problems. But if you have a big God, you have small problems. So often in life, our perspective of God changes everything in our life. And if this broadcast comes to you in the midst of overwhelming obstacles and trials in life, then a clearer understanding of who God is in your life will radically change your perspective and give you strength and grace to go forward. Welcome to Daily in the Word. This is a daily radio program that features the teaching and preaching of Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of the Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. You can find out more about Daily in the Word when you visit dailyintheword.org. Once again, that's dailyintheword.org. We're studying a series entitled Understanding God. If you'd like to listen to past programs, or if you'd like to refer a friend to dailyintheword.org, you can listen to programs or subscribe to the free podcast. All of it is at dailyintheword.org. But now, let's dive into understanding God. Today, we discover the unchanging nature of God. Malachi chapter 3, verses 1 through 6. Here's Paul Chappell.
But this book from which I preach this morning is not the word of man. And if it is the word of man, then let's go fishing today, huh? Let's go have a picnic today. But if it is the word of God, let's hear what God has to say. This prophecy came not by the will of men, Peter said, but holy men of God spake, watch this, as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. The Bible says in 2 Timothy 3 and verse 16, all scripture is given by the inspiration of God. That word inspiration is the Greek word theopneustos, which means it is God-breathed. It means that God breathed His words into those men so that they, as the human instruments, were writing down the very words of God. And we thank God that like a flutist would take the flute and breathe into that flute and create beautiful music through that flute. The Holy Spirit of God took these men, the Apostle Paul, and took these men, the prophet Malachi and others, and He breathed into them the beautiful message, the love message that we hold in our hands today. This is not an inspiring book today. It is the inspired book today, the very Word of God. And it is precious to us today, and it is preserved today. Now the Bible says in Psalm 119 and verse 89, forever, O Lord, Thy word is settled in heaven. In other words, my friend, God's word is not changing for the times, though some try to change it for the times. God's word is not something that man has any right to alter or to change. We have so many Bibles today. I like what Winston Churchill said when some of the new ones started coming out. He said, must everything be reduced to pablum in this day in which we live? My friend, it's not too hard to understand thee and thou. Thee means you. It's not too hard to understand verily, verily. And if it is hard, do something that might be a help to you. Look it up in a dictionary. The Bible says, study to show thyself approved unto God. We want everything to be instant in this day. Instant credit, instant coffee, instant divorce, instant this, instant that. But when it comes to really knowing the deep things of God, sometimes it's going to take some study to get to it. And don't get psyched out by a thee and a thou. In fact, the King James Bible from which I preached this morning was written at about a fifth grade level so that all can read and so that all can understand. I thank God the Bible has been given to us as the precious Word of God and as the preserved Word of God. Matthew 5:18, "For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth shall pass, one jot nor one tittle shall in no wise pass till all is fulfilled." Jesus said, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." As a young 24-year-old preacher contemplating the call of God, not only to preach, but to come to this church and begin ministry, I got down on my knees and I said, "God, if I'm going to go be a pastor somewhere, I want to be able to stand up in the pulpit on Sunday morning and say, this is the Word of God. And I want to be able to say it with authority. I don't want to stand up and wonder whether or not it's the Word of God. Lord, if you went to all the trouble to inspire your Word through human authors over a period of some 1,600 years, and then you went through the process of canonizing your Word into one compilation of 66 books, then Lord, show me which one has every word, because in the day in which we live, we need every word of God." And I'm glad this morning that God has given to me a confidence in my heart. I'm glad this morning that we can stand up and preach knowing it is God's holy word preserved for us today. And thank God Revelation 22 still says we should not add to this book, nor should we subtract from this book. In fact, there's a great penalty for those who would do that. It is not our responsibility this morning to correct the unchanging Word of God. It is our responsibility to obey the unchanging Word of God. God's Word is the revelation of Himself. He does not change. His Word does not change. And I thank God for the many unchanging promises in the Word of God. His Word promises us this morning that Jesus Christ died and was buried and rose again. And beyond that, His Word promises us that Jesus Christ is coming again. Thank God, as Jesus ascended up into heaven and the apostles stood there gazing, the angel said, "Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing into the sky? This same Jesus shall so come again in like manner." That means the same Jesus who was nailed to the cross, in the same manner in which He ascended, one day will descend, and with the voice of the archangel and the trump of God, you and I who are saved will be called home to be with the Lord Jesus forevermore. That's a promise that does not change. Now, some may doubt it. Some Christians live as though they doubt it. But I would remind you this morning as we think of our unchanging God, 2 Peter 3:9, which says, "The Lord is not slack concerning His promises, as some men count slackness." In other words, my friend, if God said it, you better go ahead and take it to the bank. If God said that His Son is coming back to take us home, He's not slack as some men count slackness. He will keep His word. Numbers 23:19 says, "God is not a man that He should lie, neither the son of man that He should repent. Hath He said, and He shall not do it? Or hath He spoken, and He shall not make it good?" In other words, God is not like us in the sense that He will keep His word. Our word may falter. Our word may fail. We may disappoint someone in making a promise that we do not keep. But God's word never fails. And so many times today, people think that God has changed. They think that His word has changed. But what may be an appearance of change in God's actions is merely a response to man's unrighteousness or a response to man's righteousness. And thank God that in His mercy, He shows mercy. Thank God that in His righteousness, He shows righteous judgment. And thank God that even in these times in which we live, that He will turn His heart towards the repentant sinner. Thank God in these times in which we live, that His righteous judgment will still be enacted, because according to His word, He is an unchanging God by His very nature. And so we see this morning, God's word does not change. Brother, if it was sin 200 years ago, it's sin today. And if Jesus said 2,000 years ago, "I will come again," He is still coming again. And though you may think He's taking His time, remember the words of Peter when he said, "One day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day." It's just been 2 days since He said He would come again. He is an unchanging God. Notice, secondly, God's faithfulness does not change. Not only does His word not change, but His faithfulness does not change. Colossians 1 and verse 17, "And He is before all things, and by Him all things consist." That word "consist" tells us that it is by God that everything in this universe is held together today. By Him all things consist. Psalm 119 and verse 90, "Thy faithfulness is unto all generations. Great is Thy faithfulness." Now I want you to notice this morning concerning His faithfulness, that first of all, He is a faithful God, and He is faithful when we are not faithful. He is faithful when we are not faithful. Now, even though the recipients of Malachi's prophecy were not faithful in their giving to God, they were not faithful in their service for God, yet He was faithful to them. Yet He came to them with this prophecy, and He called them unto Himself, and He was faithful unto them. The Bible tells us in James chapter 1 and verse number 17 concerning God that with Him there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. God will keep His word. He is not changing with the seasons. He is not changing with time. There is no changing with Him. Now, our judgment will fail us, and our computer systems will fail us. And someone asked me the other day, "Are you worried about the computer problems in the year 2000? No, I'm really not worried about it. I don't have a plane reservation for January 1st or anything, but other than that, I'm not too worried about it. But you know, the computer systems may fail. And certainly from time to time do fail. And human error is a failure oftentimes throughout the day. But Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is faithful when we are not. And you know, all of us have times in our lives when we have failure of thought, when we have failure in our actions, when we have instruments that fail us. But in a world of constant failure, Jesus never fails. His faithfulness never fails. Hebrews 1 and verse 12 says, "The heavens shall be changed, but Thou art the same." Amen. God is always the same. He is faithful when we are not. Now don't raise your hand this morning, but how many of you have failed God in the last 7 days? Perhaps all of us at times. But God never failed you. He was there all the time, waiting patiently in line for you to come back to Him. He never fails His people. He is faithful when we are not. He is faithful to each and every one of us. May I share with you, secondly, He is faithful in times of trial. He is faithful in the times of trial this morning. I want you to be reminded of this morning, because sometimes when we're under a heavy load, the devil might come along and say to you or say to me, "Hey, what about your God? What about His faithfulness? What about His power? What about all those promises in the Bible?" I'm recalling this morning 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 13, which simply says this, "But God is faithful, who will not tempt you above that which you are able." Even in the times of sickness and sorrow and bereavement, God is faithful. And you know, many times when we go through those tough times, we're going to find out whether we're focusing on the Lord or not. And if we're focusing on the Lord, He's going to see us through, because He is faithful and He will not tempt us or try us above that which we are able. You know, some of the most inspiring songs that we sing as Christians were songs that were written by Christians who found God to be faithful in a time of need. Perhaps the most famous of all those songs is the song, "It Is Well," a song written by a man named Horatio Spafford in 1873. Many of you have heard the story of Mr. Spafford, how that in the 1870s there came a time in his life during the Chicago fires when all of his holdings were burned, his apartment buildings, his homes, everything he had, every asset, this Christian businessman, a convert of D.L. Moody, everything he had was taken in the Chicago fire. Then just really a few months after the Chicago fire, this Mr. Spafford, in an attempt to get his family back in order, said to his wife, "Sweetheart, you take the girls and go to England. Get them in school there." The schools had not been rebuilt in Chicago. He said, "You begin to establish household and I'll follow you in a month or two." And as the ship went across the Atlantic on the way to England, the story is told that a British vessel crashed into that passenger ship, and there the four daughters of Horatio Spafford died in a grave at sea. His wife, clinging to a piece of lumber, had her life spared and wired back the message to her husband some days later, "Saved alone. Saved alone." That man of God, after losing his entire portfolio of homes and investments, and after losing his four daughters, sat down and wrote those wonderful words, "When peace like a river, when sorrows like sea billows roll, that peace like a river comes over his soul." And he wrote the chorus, "It is well with my soul." You know why he could write that? Because God is a faithful God. I think of another song written recently by Carol Cimbala, the song which simply says, "He's been faithful to me." The song, "He's been faithful to me," sometimes sung by our choir, is a song that was written after their daughter, just out of high school, ran away and lived a life of ungodliness for many months. And one night, with a broken heart and tears flowing down her face, she sat down and wrote the song, "He has been faithful to me. In my moments of fear, through every pain and every tear, there is a God who's been faithful to me." And I want to say this morning, no matter what you're experiencing, God loves you and God is faithful. And His hand is extended towards you today. Psalm 71 says, "In Thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. But let me not be put to confusion." Verse 3, "Be Thou my strong habitation." Friend, no matter what your burden, whether it be physical, financial, or personal today, 1 Peter 5:7 still says, "Casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you." And I want to remind you this morning, the Word of God never changes, and the faithfulness of God never changes. And then thirdly, notice with me this morning, God's plan of salvation does not change. God's plan of salvation does not change. Now, there are those who would say that people get saved in different ways and at different times, and that through the various dispensations of time, from Adam to Noah to Moses to the church, that God brought salvation in different ways. And I would strongly disagree with that theology, because God has always taught us in His Word that salvation is by grace and through faith. I think, for example, of Adam. You know the story of Adam and Eve. They were living in perfect fellowship with God. Though they were naked in the garden, they had no awareness of that nakedness. Adam and Eve in the garden enjoyed the fellowship of God. He would come and fellowship with them. And by the way, never forget that God created us for the purpose of fellowshipping with us. He wants to hear from us. He enjoys time with us. Adam and Eve, as they enjoyed all of the fruits of that garden, there was one fruit that God said, "You're not to partake of this fruit." It was the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And they were commanded to abstain from partaking of that fruit. You say, "Well, why that fruit? And why were they to abstain from any fruit?" I don't know. God is God. He had a reason. He said, "This fruit is not for your consumption." You know the story, how that Satan came. He was subtle in coming with this temptation. And as Satan came with his temptation, he began to tell Eve, "Why, Eve, there's nothing wrong with that fruit. Why, God doesn't want you to eat that fruit, Eve, because if you did, you would become like a God." And by the way, that's the foundation of the theology of many cults today. They seem to say, if you want to become like a God, if you want to become a God, then follow us. And Satan appealed to Eve from the standpoint of the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eye and the pride of life. And finally, she partook of that fruit, and Adam partook of that fruit. And you know the story. Because of that came the fall of man. Their relationship with God, their fellowship with God was broken by sin. And the wages of sin began to unravel onto the human race. There had never been sin to this time. But now their very children, Cain and Abel, experienced the devastation of sin. And we see it throughout history traced back to Adam and Eve. When God came down to Adam and Eve, they were aware of their nakedness. They tried to cover themselves with the leaves of the garden. But something interesting is said in Genesis 3 and verse 21. It says, "Unto Adam also and to his wife did the Lord God make coats of skins and clothed them." We see a cross-reference of that in the book of Revelation, where we read of the covering of the righteousness that comes our way by the Lamb of God. It took the shedding of the blood of an innocent lamb in order to cover Adam and Eve in that day. I think of Abraham's faith. The Bible says of Abraham in Romans chapter 4 and verse number 3, "For what saith the Scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Now to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. You see, friend, whether it's Adam and Eve or whether it's Abraham, salvation comes by way of the shedding of the blood and by way of faith in Jesus Christ. And we see that Abraham, when God spoke to him concerning the promise of Isaac, he trusted God, and he was willing by faith to raise the knife over his son. And yet God provided in the thicket a ram, and there the blood of the ram was slain, and salvation was given for Isaac. Adam's covering is seen, and Abraham's faith is seen. But you know, salvation is the same, not only for Adam, not only for Abraham, but it's the same for you and for me today. The Bible says in Romans chapter 5 and verse 8, "But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." There you have the shedding of the blood of the Lamb of God. Romans 6:23 says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." And thank God, when we put our faith in Jesus Christ, we too can be saved. You may be here this morning and you're not sure that heaven is your home. You're not sure that if you died today, you would spend eternity in heaven. Your sins have never been covered. I want to remind you this morning, Jesus died for a reason. There was a purpose for his sacrifice at Calvary, and the purpose was the atonement of the entire world. And any man, woman, boy, or girl who looks to Jesus Christ with faith believing will be covered like Adam, will be covered like Abraham, will be covered like Paul, or now Saul, as we would call him before his salvation. Anyone who trusts Christ will be saved. And the Bible says, "For whosoever will call upon the name of the Lord will be saved." God's plan of salvation has always required the shedding of the blood of the Lamb and faith in a risen Savior. And while there were many lambs sacrificed in the Old Testament era of Moses, the book of Hebrews tells us that this Lamb, Jesus Christ, died once for our sins and rose again to prove that he was and is the Son of God. What I want you to realize this morning is that God does not change. His Word does not change. His faithfulness does not change. And His plan of salvation does not change. Now I'll tell you this morning, friend, as much as I enjoy going out to that canyon rim behind the farm at my granddad's place, as much as I enjoy the solitude of that place and the unchangeable nature of that place, one day it could change. Fire could sweep through the area. Developers could come through the area. Only God knows what could happen there. But I thank God that when I open up His Word, when I close my eyes and enter into a solemn time of prayer, when I enter into a time of fellowship with God, He is always there. He is always the same yesterday, today, and forever. And I would encourage you this morning, don't attach your hopes for the future to something or someone who will change. Don't attach your hope for heaven into a church that may change. Don't attach your hope for heaven into a religious system that may change. Don't attach your hope for heaven into yourself, because you will change. Don't attach your hope for heaven into your family. They will change. Attach your hope for heaven into the one who never changes. His name is Jesus Christ. He shed His blood upon the cross as a once and for all payment for your sin. And through Him, you can know that your sins are forgiven and that heaven will be your home. You say, "Preacher, how do you know?" I can know that because He never changes. And you can trust Him, and you can trust His unchanging Word, and you can trust His unaltering faithfulness on your behalf today.
Well, you've been listening to Daily in the Word and the teaching and preaching of Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of the Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College. Understanding God begins really with knowing God, having a relationship with Him. So many people have a religion or a religious belief, but they don't have a relationship with the true and living God. And friend, that relationship is found only through Jesus Christ. If you've never trusted Christ as your Savior, we would encourage you to come to Him, to let go of your works, your own goodness, your own religious structures, and to place your faith in Christ alone as your Savior. The Bible says, "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." The Bible says, in answer to the question, "What must I do to be saved?" the answer is simple: believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Friend, if you've not made that decision, we would encourage you to make that decision today. If you have questions about receiving Christ, or if you'd like to find out more about our ministry and how we can serve you, we'd love to hear from you. You can call us toll-free at 1-800-222-2000. 1-800-201-7748. Once again, that's 1-800-201-7748. Also, before we wrap up today's edition of Daily in the Word, I want to invite you again to visit us at dailyintheword.org. On the website, you'll find lots of resources to help you in your spiritual growth. First, you can subscribe to the Daily in the Word podcast and listen to this program at your convenience on the go. You can refer a friend to Daily in the Word. You can subscribe to the free Daily in the Word devotional in your email box every day. You'll be able to read through the Bible in a year, as well as enjoy an encouraging word of devotion from Dr. Chappell. Also, I want to encourage you to take a look at Dr. Chappell's newest book. It's entitled The Burden Bearer. It's a beautiful hardback book, about 180 pages in length, that will help you answer the question, who is carrying your load? You'll discover a beautiful allegory, wonderfully written, powerfully applied from God's Word. Once again, The Burden Bearer. It's the kind of book that after you read it, you're going to want everybody you know to read The Burden Bearer. You can find out more about it at dailyintheword.org. Once again, that's dailyintheword.org. Thanks so much for being a part of today's edition of Daily in the Word. And until next time, have a great day.